Let's go back to Jonah chapter 2. Back in the last verse of Jonah 1, the beginning of that sentence, that verse says, "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah." I want to look at a couple things there. I want to look at why did the Lord prepare a great fish to swallow Jonah, and what was the aftermath? What was his salvation after that? If we go back to verse 1, we see that of chapter 1, we see that now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." The Lord's told Jonah to do something. Jonah's his prophet. Jonah's name means called. He's one of God's. But Jonah, in verse 3, said he rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down unto it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. This was a great sin by Jonah, trying to flee the presence of the Lord. Fortunately for Jonah, he's one of God's. He can't flee God's presence. God will bring him back. Isaiah 53:6 tells us that all like sheep we've all gone astray. We'll do the same if the Lord lets us wander, but he will bring us back. We'll see that here in a little bit in there. But I noticed in this too that the Lord wrote this and said it twice that he fled the presence of the Lord. In that same verse, said it twice at the beginning and at the end of it. Don't flee the presence of the Lord. Stay where the Lord is. Seek the Lord with all your heart. And then we see his sin. And his sin, he becomes a picture of Adam here when he goes into that ship and that great wind the Lord sent to that would have broken that ship if the Lord wouldn't have stopped that wind from him. These were mariners. These were men that were used to the sea. They were scared. But our Lord, with Adam, you know, it says that Adam, by one man, sin entered into the world. And with Jonah getting on this ship, because of his sin, he put all those men in peril. Because of Adam, he put the whole world in peril. We all have to face a judgment from a holy God. Now, we either face it in Christ, for the ones he chose and saved, or we face it on our own and we can't stand before a holy God. There is no man that can stand before a holy God. I want to look at Romans 5:20. I've heard this verse all my life, but it really touched me whenever I thought about the fact that, you know, Adam sin was the first sinner. Jonah, because of his sin, caused this problem in the ship. But in here, the Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans and tells us that, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is, he's so merciful to us. The ones that he's, his chosen people, he showed us who Christ is, revealed himself to us, and he paid our debt on that cross. What mercy. And this, I listened to a man preaching this message, and I listened to it several times because he did a really good job. But the Lord gave him a lot of wisdom in it. This is not Jonah being punished. This is Jonah. This was for the mercy of Jonah. If this had been punishment, there wouldn't have been a fish there for Jonah to be swallowed by. He would have just died in that ocean when they cast him out. But Jonah at this point, he was fast asleep in the ship while that storm was just tearing that ship apart. He was fast asleep. Didn't even realize, you know, he had tried to flee the presence of the Lord and just ignore the Lord. And didn't even see the destruction of the world around him. It's amazing that the Lord would let his people get to that point. And speaking as someone that the Lord has let get to that point, it's all mercy and grace that he's brought me back. I'm just like Jonah. I'm a sinner. And, I mean, the shipmaster had to come wake him up. These men were out there calling on their gods. They didn't know the true God. They were just calling on any god, any idol that they had to try and save them. But their gods are, they have no hands but their hands, no feet but their feet. You know, Elijah, he went up against the prophets of Baal, and he mocked them. He said, well, is your God sleeping? I mean, maybe he's pursuing something, you know. He doesn't have time for you. Holler louder, you know. He mocked them because of that. But don't let us, you know, let us know the true God, the God that can save us, that can bring us out of despair. And then he goes on in verse 7. And says, and every one to his fellow, come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. You know, men cast lots to be for chance and for luck. There is no such thing as chance or luck. Proverbs 16:33 tells us that the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. You know, the Lord even controls how those dice fell. If he didn't, in this case, it could have fell on another man on that ship that hadn't done what Jonah did, and it wouldn't have been for Jonah's good. And then they asked Jonah, and this brought to, you know, Jonah realized at this point that this was all because of his sin. He knew that the reason the Lord had sent this great wind was about to tear this ship apart was because of him. And these men were in peril because of it. And these men asked questions and brought up his sin from him. You know, put his sin before himself. They said, tell us, pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? You know, the Lord asked Adam, said, well, what's, you know, who told you was naked? You know, the Lord does ask those questions to prove our sin before us, show us our sins. We need to be awakened to them so that we will call on a merciful God that will save. And he said, I am a Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We're told that in Psalm 111, Proverbs 1, several places, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But this God, he's the God of the heaven. He made the sea and the dry land. They obey. They listen. There is only one God to call upon. So then the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew he had fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Now these men didn't want to, you know, they didn't want to throw him out. They knew that he was the reason for the wind, because that's what he had told them. You know, his fleeing the presence of the Lord had put them all in peril. So they asked him, "What shall we do? That the sea may be calm to us," and the sea was, "for the sea was wrought and was tempestuous. He said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you." At this point, Jonah becomes a type of Christ for these. The only way these men can be saved is for Christ to be cast out, put up on a cross to die for our sins. As the brazen serpent was raised up, the Lord had to be raised up. Our Christ had to suffer. He had to pay our sins. He had to have our burdens of sin put on him. It says he was made sin, but he was not corrupt and he was not a sinner. It's a fearful thing to say that he was made sin, but it's with the understanding that he was not a sinner. He bore our sins and he paid our debt, but he wasn't the sinner. He was perfection. And that's the only way God can be just and be justifier, is for God himself just to come to this earth, take our sin upon himself, and pay that debt that we couldn't pay. We couldn't pay it in a lifetime, in an eternity. We'd never be able to pay that. But the men, nevertheless, they decided to go their own way. They didn't want to do what it took. So they tried. They tried to fight against the sea that God was controlling. They tried to row against it. And finally, they come up and said, "We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life. Lay not upon us an innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee." And they took Jonah up and cast him forth. I thought of our Lord. He said, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." And then in the Pentecost, he saved several thousand of them. What mercy, what grace. But here's the mercy to Jonah, was that God prepared a great fish to swallow him. He didn't just let him die in the sea when he tossed him in. He prepared a great fish. It says Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Let's look at Matthew 12. Actually, verse 39. He was speaking to the Pharisees when they asked him, "Master, we would see a sign from thee." But he answered and said unto them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as the Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so the Son of Man shall be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." The sign of Jonas. If for no other reason that the Lord allowed Jonah to flee his presence, for him to put him in the belly of a whale, and then for Jonah to pray the prayer he did next, if for no other reason, it was so he could tell the Pharisees over there that, you know, this is your sign. what Jonah spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, that's what the Son of God has to do. He has to spend 3 days and three nights in the belly of the earth. And that's our Christ. We preach Christ crucified. And for a reason, because that's our salvation, is the fact that if he would have died on that cross and not risen, been crucified and been risen, there's no salvation in that. But because he's risen, he took all of our sin debt, paid it, put it out of God's sight, said as far as it is from the east to the west, he put it out of her, put it out of his sight. He doesn't even call it up for remembrance. So then Jonah prayed unto the Lord out of the fish's belly. This could be Christ's prayer on the cross when he bore our sins. But he said, and I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. And out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. No matter what our despair, no matter how deep in sin we feel, we need to cry unto our Lord. He will hear us. Look at Jeremiah 29 with me. And this was for Israel. This was their constant theme and story, which is a picture of Christ's people. They were constantly going away from the Lord, and he was constantly bringing them back, constantly. He brought them out of Egypt, and they turned on him immediately. He brought them back from that. They turned on him again. It was constant all the way through. And here in Jeremiah 29, he's put them in captivity and had Jeremiah send a letter to them. And in verse 10 it says, for thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon. He put them in captivity in Babylon. He said, I will visit you, and I will and perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place. He said, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. He's going to give us an expected end. This world is not ours. We're looking for another world, one where Christ, we see Christ finally, and we praise him all the day long. And says, then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye search for me with all your heart. He done all of it. He does it all. We because of sin, we wander. We're prone to wander. We're led astray like sheep. But he brings us back. He turns us. And he calls himself to remembrance to us. And then we call on him because he does. And verse 3 says, for thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. This is getting pretty low right here. He's completely covered. He doesn't see any way out. He's looking. He's not finding any way out. He feels like he knows he's cast out of God's sight. That's what he said in the next verse. He said, then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. Now our Lord Jesus Christ could say that. He could say that. And because of him, we can say that boldly. Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. We may be cast out. We may be cast down. That's because of our own doing. the Lord will call to remembrance and bring us back and will make us look towards his holy temple. And that's where we need to look. We need to look towards a holy God. He's a thrice holy God. Said, the waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. It just seems like this is getting worse. It's tightening up around us, this sin. And then said, I went down to the bottoms of the mountain. The weight of the earth being on him. I mean, the earth with her bars was about me forever. Just feel trapped by this world sometimes in its sin. That's when we need to open the scripture. We need to look for Christ. We need to look towards that holy temple. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. Jonah actually fainted here, he said. His soul fainted within him. Christ bore our burdens. Took them to the grave. And then rose from them. It didn't keep him down. He didn't faint. Thank goodness he didn't faint. And when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. We need to pray. We need to pray without ceasing. We need to look to the scripture. We need to pray to our God. We need to look for Christ in everything. In everything. The next verse says, they observe lying vanities, forsaking their own mercy. I didn't fully understand this verse. I heard a few things on it. But to me and to what it's saying here is, you know, a lot of us came from false religion. And there was a lot of vanities, lying vanities in that, you know, telling us that Christ loves everyone but can't save anyone. You know, and then people blindly following that. You know, what mercy the Lord has showed us to bring us out of that and show us his truth. And then he says, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. This voice of thanksgiving. You know, because the Lord has brought us low, showed us our sin, showed us his salvation, he'll raise us back. He'll give us the desire to give a voice of thanksgiving in everything. Praise his name for everything. I noticed I was looking through the Psalms. If you turn to Psalm 146, this was such a blessing to see how these Psalms started off. I'm not sure who wrote them. It doesn't say. But the first verse of Psalm 146, 147, 148, and 149 start, praise ye the Lord. Once he shows us our sin, shows us our need of a Savior, and if that Savior can save us from our sins, we will praise the Lord. We will say with that, we will say, praise the Lord in everything. Now Jonah says, I will pay that I have vowed. Now, as a sinner, we can say that boldly in Christ. But we're going to turn back to our sin at some point, and God's going to have to bring us back again. That's the way. We hope not. We don't want it to be so, but we know that we're going to sin again. And when we do, we have an advocate. That's what John 2:1 tells us. but because of all this that the Lord had done for Jonah. Jonah said, salvation is of the Lord. And that salvation, to know that salvation is of the Lord, that our God has paid it all. He started the work. He finished the work. He's the Alpha and the Omega. Where our brother Patrick read this morning, Ephesians 1, 4, tells us that according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. That's salvation is of the Lord right there. He's the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. That's our salvation. Salvation is of the Lord. We've had nothing to do with it. We weren't there whenever God started the work. We'll be there to praise him in the end through eternity for his work, but we didn't have to do anything. We didn't have anything to do with it through the middle of it or at the end of it, other than standing there praising him and giving him the glory all the day long. Can't wait. And then look at Colossians 3:11 with me. This sums it all up as far as salvation is of the Lord. It says, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, Christ is all and in all. That is salvation is of the Lord. Christ is all. There's nothing else. There's no one else. There's no other way whereby we must be saved than by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 10 tells us, it says, and the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah on the dry land. This dry land, you know, the Israelites had sinned before God. He took a wind and opened a sea. They walked through on dry ground. That's all of his people. We will all walk through on dry ground to be with him one day. And after this, though, after Jonah saw the salvation of the Lord, I love this in chapter 3. The first four verses, it says, and the word came unto Jonah the second time. Said, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city. Preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. It's the second time he's told him this. He said, so Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. Jonah began to enter the city in a day's journey. Yeah, before he wanted to run the opposite direction. But now that the Lord has shown him the salvation and brought him back, made him return, he's running. I mean, he made a 3 day journey in one day. He's moving. And he come into that city declaring that word. And our Lord put him on that ship to save some men. I'm sure, you know, it says many are called, few are chosen. But in verse 16, when it said the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord. Well, Jonah had told them about who the Lord was that he worshipped. They had to sacrifice to him. They made vows. Now, can't say that he saved them all, but he bound to have saved at least one of those men on that ship. Bound to have saved at least one. He saved them from being destroyed that day, that's for sure. But at the end of chapter 4, he sent Jonah to Nineveh. You know, the Lord didn't send a prophet to Sodom and Gomorrah. He just went in and took one of his own out, Lot, and then he destroyed it. But here he sent a man for the salvation of Nineveh. And he tells him there, says, and should I not spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein there are more than 6,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle. The Lord chose to save Nineveh, even though their sins had come before him, but he didn't choose to save Sodom and Gomorrah. That's his world. We sit. I've grown up most of my life in this church, and I know I've seen people here, and I've seen people not here. I've seen people that have been affected by the gospel and people not. That's the mercy and salvation of the Lord. He chooses whom he will, and he saves whom he will. He said he will have mercy on whom he will have mercy. And he will. The ones that he has mercy on, everything works to their good. Tells us that for we know that everything works to the good of them that are called according to his purpose. It's all in his purpose. Okay. May the Lord have mercy on that.